Chapter 3. The Stranger in the Tower. The first problem came soon after Miles arrived home. The children were in their rooms that afternoon, and I had an hour to myself. I went for a long walk, and it was nearly dark when I returned to the house. Suddenly, I saw a man standing at the top of the tower that I had visited with Flora on our first day together. "Is that Lord Henry?" I thought. "Is he back from Europe?" But when I looked again, I saw that it wasn't my employer. No, this man was a stranger, somebody I'd never seen before, and he was staring down at me from the top of the tower. The stranger didn't move when he saw me. He just continued to stare at me while I looked at him. This lasted for about a minute, and everything around me seemed to become strangely silent. I felt very cold. Then, without moving his eyes from my face, he walked slowly to the other side of the tower. I remember his long, thin hand moving over the low wall as he walked. And then after a few seconds, he turned and disappeared. I didn't say anything to Mrs. Groves about the stranger because I didn't want to worry her. I thought that maybe the servants were playing a trick on me. But finally, I decided that this wasn't the case. After a few days, I decided that the stranger was a traveller who was curious about old mansions, and he had entered the house and left again without anybody else seeing him. I didn't think about him again. Life with the children was perfect. When I was with them, I forgot everything else. We spent a lot of time outside in the gardens, walking, talking, and playing. I continually discovered new things about them. They were spontaneous and friendly, especially Miles. I didn't think he had any problems. I didn't feel it anyway, because he seemed to be happy all the time. It was strange, but Miles never spoke about his experiences at school, his friends, or his teachers. We never discussed what had happened there. And once I knew what a charming boy he was, I concluded that the other boys at school were simply envious of him because he was so special. But I must continue my story. One Sunday, it rained all day and we couldn't go to church. Mrs. Groves and I planned to go to church together in the evening if it stopped raining. It finally stopped raining a short time after supper. As we were leaving for church, I realised that I had forgotten my gloves. "They're in the dining room," I said to Mrs. Groves. "I left my things there while the children and I were having supper. I'll go and get them." I walked into the dining room and saw my gloves on a chair near the window. I went to get them, and I was shocked to see that somebody was standing outside the window. His face was close to the glass, and he was staring into the room. Suddenly, I felt cold again. It was the same man that I had seen in the tower, except that now I could see him more clearly. He wore the same clothes, and there was the same intensity in his eyes. But there was something different this time. Instead of looking at me, his eyes moved round the room. "He's looking for something," I thought, "or somebody." Then I heard a soft voice. I didn't recognise it, and I don't know, even today, if it was real. "He hasn't come for you," the voice said. "He's come for somebody else." This lasted for only a few seconds. Then the man turned and disappeared. I ran from the room, trembling. "What happened?" Mrs. Groves asked when she saw me. "You're as white as a sheet." I decided not to protect her this time. "I'm frightened," I answered. "A stranger was looking at me through the window, but now he's gone." "Have you seen him before?" she asked. "Yes, once," I answered. "On top of the tower. It was the same time of day, too, just before dark."
"Why are you so frightened?" she asked with a trembling voice.
He's very sinister, I said softly. I've never seen anybody like him before. He's tall with dark hair and a long, pale face. His eyebrows are thick and dark. He's got small eyes and a wide mouth with thin lips. He's elegantly dressed, I continued, but not like a real gentleman. I don't know how to explain it. There's something artificial about him, like an actor in the theatre. As I described the stranger, Mrs. Groves's eyes opened wide in fear and she became pale. Is he handsome? She asked. Yes, he is, I said. Why do you ask? Do you know him? She nodded. It's Peter Quint. He was Lord Henry's assistant for years, she said. Quint was here with Lord Henry last year. Then when Lord Henry left, Quint stayed here with us and supervised some changes that Lord Henry wanted in the house. And what happened to him? I asked with curiosity. He's gone too, Mrs. Groves answered. Gone where? I asked. I will never forget the expression on her face. Mr. Quint is dead, she said.